Well, last week we talked about this celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we heard several testimonies from people in our church about how the risen Christ has shown up in their life not long ago, like last week showed up. And it's such an encouragement when we hear the testimonies of how Jesus is alive and in our midst. But today I want to focus on a different group of people. I want to focus on the group of people who would say, Pastor Sean, that's great that I'm hearing about everybody else meeting Jesus and Jesus changing their world, but I haven't seen him any place in my life. I haven't seen him, and I just don't know what to do. And if that's you, I want to encourage you, because one of the stories on the day of resurrection is about two disciples who feel just like you do, and sometimes I do. It's the day of the resurrection in Luke 24, verses 13 through 31, and you've got a message outline, and on the back is literally the whole story so that you can read it for yourself today. But this is a story about two disciples. They're not part of the 12, but they're probably part of 70. And it's resurrection day, and they're going to tell us that in the story that, yeah, they've heard about other people talking about how Jesus is alive, but for them, they haven't seen any of it, and so they're literally going from Jerusalem back to their old life in Emmaus, and they're just planning to kind of go the wrong direction in life. And so if that's you this morning, if you're a person that said, Pastor Sean, it's encouraging for me to hear about everybody else, how Jesus is moving there, but I don't know what to do because I'm not seeing Jesus in my life, the risen Savior, in the circumstance, then this message is for you today. So look with me at Luke 24, verses 13 through 32. And I just want to encourage you that the Word of God is powerful, and you should notice in this passage, you should notice some moments that are pretty funny and ironic as we read it, and just allow the Lord to speak to you today. So Luke 24, verses 13 through 32, here we go. That very resurrection day, two of the disciples were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus, the risen Christ himself, drew near and went with them. Now here's probably the most important verse in this whole passage. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And Jesus said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him. Notice who he's talking to. "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there these days? God, are you the one who formed me and made me, who makes everything work? Do you not know what's going on in my life right now? Because I feel like you don't know." Some of us have that conversation. And Jesus said, well, what things? And they said to him concerning, now let's get the irony. They're about to talk about Jesus of Nazareth to who? Oh, to Jesus. Okay, so they're going to let God know who he is and what's going on. Here we go. And they said to him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified. And then one scholar said these next four words are the saddest words in the whole New Testament. But we had hoped. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all of this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. There's the next irony moment. Somebody who's not seeing that Jesus is right in front of them is telling Jesus that somebody else is not seeing him. Okay? Little ironic. And Jesus said to them, and they don't know it's Jesus yet, "O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things, and then the Greek is really, and then enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going, and Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And here's what I believe God's going to do this morning in many of us. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. They recognized God was with them now. And he vanished from their sight, and they said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour, changed direction, and returned to Jerusalem. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word that is powerful and just what we need when, Lord, in the very circumstance we're at. We thank you that today there's some of us who are being kept from seeing you, but you're about to open our eyes. Open our eyes and put a new passion in our hearts. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. All right, turn to your neighbor and say, "This word's for you." Here it comes. Here it comes. So here we go. All right. I don't know what else you said. You said a lot there. I just told you to say like four words. But all right, I'm reading this passage and it hits me. I'm reading this passage and it hits me. There's a big difference between knowing of Jesus of Nazareth, that religious teacher, that man who is a prophet and said good things and did good things. There's a big difference between knowing him and seeing Jesus, the risen Christ, the one who is anointed, chosen king. The word Christ basically means the chosen one of God who's anointed to be the king over the universe. So when you say it's like the king of all kings, there's a big difference. Now, do you get the irony of this story? These two people, Cleopas, who we affectionately call Cleo for the rest of the day, Cleo, and most likely his wife, because in those days when they recorded history, women didn't get any esteem there, so they won't name something. It's possible. Cleo and his wife, they're two people that are, they're going the wrong way in life. They've kind of given up. But here's the thing. When Jesus, the risen Christ, shows up, they can talk about Jesus of Nazareth till they're blue in their face, and they still don't recognize who's right in front of them. It's possible to know a lot about Jesus, that teacher, that man of God, that prophet of the past, and not realize that he's right with me right now. So I don't want you to write down this next group because I'm going to throw some words on the screen. I just want you to think about it with me in your heart and with your spirit today, that there's a big difference between Jesus of Nazareth and Jesus the risen Christ. You know, Jesus of Nazareth, he's the teacher of God. And I listen to Jesus because he has some interesting things to say that seem insightful to me and I think might be good principles to live by. But Jesus, the risen Christ, man, he's defeated everything. He's alive. He's right with me. He's the Son of God. He's not just telling me how to live. He's the life I want to live. Jesus of Nazareth, well, he's in the past. He's what my family believed, what my parents believed. He's what I used to believe, and things are a little hard, so I gotta get back. He's about the past, but the risen Christ, he's right with me. I can say all these things about Jesus in the past, but do I realize he is right with me right now? Because Jesus of Nazareth, it's all about what he said. And what I do with what he said is this. That's an interesting idea. If I take that principle and that story and that example and that metaphor, and maybe if I live it out this way, this is what I'll do with life. That's a religious way of treating Jesus. But the risen Christ, I'm not trying to figure it out. He's with me and saying, by the way, do this. He's with me, speaking to me, showing me what I need. Jesus of Nazareth, he's practical, man. He says all those, like, he talks about the seed and about a day and about a tree and about fruit, and it's all practical and understanding. Oh, that works, that fits. Man, Jesus, the risen Christ, he's just plain old impossible. Like, that can't be done. That's impossible. You just can't show up. Peter, it was impossible that he could be restored after what he did and how he denied Jesus. It's impossible for that marriage to heal. It's impossible for those disciples who are so ruled by fear that they're hiding. It's impossible that one day they're going to stand up in front of everybody and say, this is who God is. That's impossible. And you can get all sorts of practical advice from Jesus of Nazareth, but the risen Christ, he shows up in your life, impossible things start happening. Just start happening. You're like, I never thought that could change. It can. It can if the risen Christ is with you. And this is what I love, because Jesus of Nazareth, man, that's, you know, you can treat that like boring religion. I mean, it's all good stuff, but you treat it like boring religion. Like, I guess I should go to church today. Maybe I'll learn something that I can figure out what I do with it. Or maybe, you know, that whole idea of I probably should read my Bible today. Maybe I should do that. Let me tell you what. When Jesus, the risen Christ, shows up in your life, it's like, I got to tell somebody. Like, my reality just changed. Like, I didn't even think it was possible to live this kind of life. I'm living it. Like, I'm amazed. There's nothing boring. It's taken everything in me, and any moment I step out of faith, it starts crushing me, because what God's called me to do is so much bigger than I am that I don't know how to live it the moment I stop looking at him. That's the risen Christ. And then I think this is important to hear. Jesus of Nazareth, man, the world knows him. As a matter of fact, I forgot my National Geographic studying the life of Jesus. You know, the whole, like, let's hear all the facts and all the theories about the teaching and where he was and all that. Like, that's wonderful. But you know who the world doesn't know about? They don't know the risen Christ. They don't know him alive and changing lives. And here's the thing. Now, get this. Jesus loves the whole world, but he didn't care. Because I want you to think about this. He rises from the dead, and he's got 40 days until his ascension. You're going to go find two people on the road to Emmaus? We don't even know where that place is anymore. Why don't you show up to the important people and let them know? Why don't you show up to, hey, you know who I think would be a good person to show up to? How about we show up to those Pharisees? How about we show up to them with 40 days on earth? Show up to them and say, what were you saying before? About me not being able to save myself? You want to explain that a little bit more to me today? How about him show up? How about he shows up to the kings like Herod and Pilate? Say, who's the man? You want dialogue about who's in charge? What is truth? I think I'm right here. All right, you know. I mean, why not show up to them? Why not show up to the crowd? Say, you want to run this again? You want to run your choice again about what you're doing? Why don't you do that? But I want you to hear this. Jesus doesn't spend any time with the critics. He doesn't spend any time with the kings. And he doesn't spend any time with the crowd. You know who he spends the time with? Two people who are going the wrong direction in life, who are giving up. That's 40 days. That's who you're showing up to? Yes. That's who you're showing up to. Because that's who he is. He's the risen one. Now, what you and I need to hear is that even though the risen Christ is with them, it says they were kept from recognizing him. It doesn't say they didn't want to see him. It says they were kept. So you and I have got to ask, what keeps us from seeing when Jesus Christ is with me and I don't know it? Because there are times when the risen Christ, I know all about Jesus of Nazareth, I know all of his teaching, I'm trying to live his way, and what would Jesus do? And how about Jesus is here? What is he saying to you right now? What keeps me from recognizing him? I want to give you three simple thoughts. They're all right here in this passage. And the first one is this. What keeps us from seeing the risen Christ? Lost hope. Lost hope. The three saddest words in the New Testament, but we had hoped. See, we kind of decided that this is what life should look like, and these are, we're not being unreasonable. This is just kind of basic stuff, and I know, Jesus, you said that in this world you will have trouble, but come on, God, I mean, we had hoped at least we get this, that circumstances would work this way and people would treat us this way. We had hoped. And the tough thing is when you lose hope, you stop looking, All right? I don't know if you did that kind of egg hunt last week, you know? When it's like, if there are no more eggs to find, and somebody, hey, no more eggs, you stop looking. Why? Because there's no hope to find anymore. And some of us, we stop losing hope. Something in us tells us there's nothing more to find. And when you're not looking for Jesus, you don't find Jesus. When you're not looking for him in your midst, you don't see that he's there. And so you and I have to understand there's a really big lie. There's a really big lie about this. And what I love about this story, and it's on Resurrection Sunday. I mean, I would think if Jesus rose from the dead, he'd go find somebody to celebrate with. And he goes find two people who are just sad and down and out. And he cares about them. Nobody else is thinking about these two. We don't even know one of their name. He's thinking about them, though. Do you get it? That Jesus has spent his earthly ministry saying, follow me. And then as the resurrection one, he goes, follow someone who's given up. You get that? Because here's the biggest lie in all of religion. And it's this. We find God. That's the biggest lie there is. Because guess what? If that's true, then you and I have no hope. Because we can't find him. Let's be honest. The scripture, we don't want to find him. I mean, we're happy to find him if we're in a jam. It'd be nice if you show up then, God. But after that, when life's away, back off. I need my space. We don't want to find him. He finds us. And it's a lie of religion that we find God. The truth is, he finds us. What does the scripture says? We didn't love him first. He loved us first. He went. He made the difference. He paid the price when we weren't looking for him. And let me tell you what. The reason why this is such good news is that means that the risen Christ has risen above your doubts and your bad decisions. How many times do I talk to someone and say, I just messed up. I know me lately. And so it's like, I'm going to try to get back. I'm going to try to find God again. I'm going to try to know him again. It's like, are you kidding me? God's finding you. He's the one chasing after you. He's the one that, great, I love it. It's just like grace is going to hunt you down and find you. You know, you ever been to that point where you're trying to walk away? You're doing those things and you're just, I don't care anymore. You know what? The risen Christ is above that. He's still looking for you. He is still looking for you. And I want to encourage you, that might be you today, man. That's how I feel. I'm going the wrong direction in life. I've kind of given up on the promises. If the disciples are walking away from Jerusalem, where are they walking away from? They're walking away from the promise of the Father that's about to fall. They're walking away from the promise of God. They're going back to their old life. And Jesus says, oh yeah? I'm above that. I'm going to come find you anyway. Man, that's good news. Can somebody smile for that? That is really good news. I mean, that should just give you hope today. And here's the beautiful thing. It doesn't matter how far down the road you are. I've got the Southers family here. And I want to tell you a story. Last Sunday, we just had a great service. And Paul, their uncle, comes and sees me right after service. Paul's 67 years old. He gave his life to the Lord last year. 66 years. Doing things my own way. Gonna do it my way. And, no choir boy, but a super great guy, right? 66 years old, decides I'm gonna give my life to Christ. In January, this is what happened. As you're watching this, listen to me. Because this past Resurrection Sunday morning, Paul said what a great day it was.
Jesus Christ to come before us for this moment of baptism. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would watch over, Lord, your Son. Lord, before all of us now is public confession of faith. We give you praise. We baptize him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said.
What are you going to say? Amen. Amen. So let me tell you why I'm showing this video. That was a few months ago. Paul came here, worshiped on Resurrection Sunday morning, and 12 hours later passed. I preached him all the way to heaven. That's a joke. I didn't realize it. But let me tell you what. I was talking to Miss Leslie right over there. We're talking on the phone. I was talking to Melissa. We all said the same thing. It's always, there's always a sorrow with some passes, but we all said the same thing. I heard it, and I smiled. He's home. He did it. And I love what Leslie said to me. Leslie said, Pastor Sean, if you would have told me he passed a year and a half ago, I'd feel totally different about the news. But let me tell you what. When you've lost hope, 66 years of I think I'm going to do things my way, there is a Savior who's going to go find you. Because that's what he does. That's hope. That is hope. You can applaud for that. So last week we said that family and crazy are just synonyms, right? We've all got crazy family. And I think the Southers would say, you know, that's their family too, right? Well, you know, when you're 66 years, it's not like a ton of people in your family are part of church. So we had all their family here. We showed this video during the funeral. And people got up and clapped at the end of it. Just got up and clapped because they got it. Jesus is a God, like, it's never too late. God's following us. I want to encourage you. That's your hope. And if you'll start saying, wait a minute, if you'll start get away from that, like, it's my decision, if you'll just start looking for him, you'll find he's already looking for you. Already looking for you. Next one, old dreams. Old dreams keep us from seeing the risen Christ. I want you to get this moment. The great I am is standing in front of them, and they're saying he was. Do you get the irony of that moment? He is now, he is, and they're talking about him in past tense. We talked about it last week, that your best days are not behind you. Not in Christ, they're not, because the God who always expands the universe, because he's got to do something new, he's always bringing life. He's the same God in your life. He has risen above all the things that break you, and he's creating something new in you. And the big mistake of all the disciples was when Jesus resurrected, they were all looking for what he used to look like. That's why nobody recognized him when he was resurrected. These two disciples, they know all about Jesus of Nazareth. They know what he looked like, what he did, how he talked. Jesus is with them, but he's new. He's different. They didn't just revive Jesus. He resurrected. It wasn't just the old coming back. It was the new that's never been. And they couldn't see him. Because they were looking for what was old. And let me tell you what, one of the greatest lies of your dreams and your joy and your faith is thinking that God wants to give me back my old life. I want you to hear that. Now, I'm not saying don't be grateful for what you've had. I'm not saying don't learn from it. But I'm telling you what, Jesus is the God of the resurrection, not the resuscitation. Right? And he's not looking to resuscitate what you've had. He's looking to give you what you've never had. Because I think that Jesus might just know a little bit more than you, might have a little bit more power than you, might have a little bigger concept about what life could be, might have a little bit of sense of some things around you that need to be done that you don't even know about. And the biggest mistake you and I make is making our faith all about, I hope God gives me that back. Now again, God's faithful. You can be thankful. You can know some things got to be healed, fixed, restored. That's fine. But if you're looking just to get it the way it was, you're not going to see him at all because he's not in that. He is in the new. He walks through walls in this new resurrection form. He forgives things that were unforgivable. He shows up. It's like, can you do that? I can do that. God's the God of the impossible. And you and I need to be encouraged in a new way to believe that. The beautiful thing is this, the risen Christ has risen above the best of your past. He's just a little above that, okay? He's got a little bit more for you than what was best in your life before. And so we can be thankful, we can keep the story going, but I'm telling you what, man, have a new dream. Look for something new. Stop looking in the rearview mirror about life. Because guess what? All right, this is severe knowledge drop right here. I'm about to blow your mind. Are you ready? You see what you look for. That's pretty brilliant, right? That's just brand new concept. What I look for is what I see. And if all you're doing is looking for your past, guess what you're going to see all the time? Your past. It's all you're going to see. But if you say, Lord, you're the God of the resurrection, I'm not disconnected from my past. I mean, there's a beautiful story. There's some things that you haven't finished. I can't wait for you to finish them. But if I think the only thing is to get them to a certain way they looked, oh, come on. Man, there's more than that. There is more than that. I was talking to one of our ladies in the church who's just one of my heroes of the faith, and she had in the past suffered sexual abuse, sexual violence. And there was a season in her life where all she could pray is, Lord, would you just help me believe like this never happened? Could you just make it like it was before that happened to me? And I think that's a little bit of some of our healing process. It's kind of where we begin in our healing process. But let me tell you what, she's way more than that. And she was telling me the other day, she's like, Pastor Sean, like, it's crazy what God's letting me be a part of. Like, I thought my biggest prayer was just make it so like that never happened in my life. And what I'm finding out is God's done way more than that. He's healed me. I've got the scars. It's part of my story. And now I'm doing all this stuff I never believed. It's like impossible, the life I'm living, and somehow I'm living it. Because I'm not just settling for an old definition of what was good, an old definition of what my dream was. And so I tell you what, I was just talking with someone in the foyer. In the last few months, I've seen God do things I've never seen before. And I think part of it is when you're putting your answered prayers in there and we're getting to share them and things like that. I mean, God is speaking to people like never before. When we saw what God did this night, we had a larger service than ever before. I don't care about the larger. I just love the people that got that the Lord brought to us. And those who see, I mean, I've seen all these things, and I've decided that God has made me an Agwand. I'm an old guy with a new dream. Come on. Come on, man. I am an old guy with a new dream because God's not done yet. Amen? Come on, somebody. It's not a Padawan, all you start is. I'm an Agwand, man. I'm an old guy with a new dream. I'll tell you what, God's new dream, sometimes it's in old places, sometimes it's in old relationships. But if you don't have a new dream, if there's not something you're saying, I think God's calling me to something. Look, a church needs a new dream. You know, a church needs to be like, man, what is God doing next? If we're all thinking like the best thing God can do is what he did, come on. Man, he's more than that. It's beautiful. Be thankful. It's our heritage. It's going to build to what is. But man, let's look for the new. Let's look for what God is doing. Some of you can join me in the official Agwand stance. And I guess it could be, well, I'm not going to touch the age thing. You guys, that's a mistake. All right. New dream. Number three, what keeps us from seeing the risen Christ? Wrong belief about suffering. Wrong belief about suffering. When we talked about it last week, there's a day of pain, there's a day of confusion, and there is a day of resurrection. And if you're hitting a day of pain, it does not mean you're on the wrong path. You know, we are born into this life with a sinful nature and with all these addictive, sinful culture around us, and it's like they got hooks in us. And taking them off hurts. There's some suffering to getting free. And when that process is in you and you're wondering what's going on with the suffering, it's because the Christ should suffer at these things. And then I've got to experience some pain to get freedom in my life. So if I'm after God just as a God of comfort, interestingly enough, the word Emmaus means warm bath, okay? You know, two disciples, I'm just going to look for a warm bath, feel better, not deal with all the bad stuff anymore, just, you know, I just want some comfort. God's the God of all comfort, man. He's going to be there, but he's going to be there in the risen form. He's going to comfort you as he frees you. He's going to comfort you as he transforms you. And so really the greatest lie against my belief and my hope and my faith is that suffering means God doesn't care about me. Oh man, I don't know how to say that to you any other way. Like he loves you. Let me say this, all right? My son Caleb got a splinter the other day, right? Parents, who's all the official splinter taker outers? Raise your hand. I'm assuming that's you, Lisa. I mean, come on, you're a nurse. Okay, all right. Yeah, you take out the splinter. You ever get the scenario where you've taken it out and then realize what? There's still more left in? Oh, that's awful, right? And then what do you got to do? Got to go back in to get it all out. official splinter takers out there, do you not love the person you're doing that to? Or do you care so much that you're saying that can't stay in there? So there are a lot of times, some of us in this room, we just had this conversation this week. Sometimes we make this giant step forward, and then things seem to get more painful. And it's like, where's God? And it's like, well, maybe since you have a good, good father, maybe what he's doing is saying there's still some splinter in there, and unless you know it's there, I can't get it out. So, and you're going to know it by confronting something. So maybe the reason why there's some, you just had this great step with me, and maybe what I'm doing in your life is answering your prayer. Maybe I'm saying, let's get all of it out. Let's not just be okay when those people treat me right and when this doesn't happen to me and when everything I expect happens. How about I heal you so much that that person doesn't have to treat you right and you can get that bad news and that can happen and you're still healed? Maybe that's how deep I want to heal you. So I don't want to try to make it all simple here. Suffering is a sacred thing that there is. We usually do a bad job trying to explain to another person. But I just want to, I want you to see these scriptures and this thought. The risen Christ has risen above my pain and invites me to join him. He's like, hey, man, how about getting a little higher above that? Come on. I don't want to go there. I want to touch it. You got to touch it. It's got to come out. Come on, don't be afraid. I'm with you. I've risen above it. Just follow me. Well, let me show you these scriptures. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the what? Glory that will be revealed in us. Romans 8:18. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light and momentary troubles, and Paul was talking about some very painful things, so he wasn't saying it was easy, are achieving for us an eternal what? Glory that far outweighs them all. So what do I got to do? I've got to fix my eyes on not what is seen, but on what is resurrected, the resurrected one, on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Listen to, look at this passage. Whoop, where'd we go? There's one more really dynamic scripture that I can't wait to share. It's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. Where'd it go? Let's all sing today. And all right. Let me read it to you. I got it. Oh, there we are. 1 Peter 5:10. And the God of all grace who called you to his eternal what? In Christ, after you have what? Suffered a little while, will himself, beautiful word, restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. That all that language is like, yeah, he didn't just rescue, he just made you the whole package. He just did all from every side. He healed you, he restored you. He did that. And look, the Lord, sometimes we walk through suffering. And I guess not sometimes, maybe we all do it. But what is the Lord wanting to do? And he wants to bring his glory. He wants to show his purpose. He doesn't want you to give up. But if you think suffering means he's not there, you're probably not going to recognize when he's trying to speak, when he's trying to encourage you, when he's trying to give you hope. So that's all good to know, but we just said that Jesus is running after us. We're not running after him. And so how do the disciples in this story, how are they finally able to see? That's kind of the million-dollar question. I want you to think about this, and I want to encourage you. Let the Spirit of God speak to you in this moment. Let him speak, because he's about to speak in a way that I think, I'm just believing, some of us are going to say, I finally see him. I get it, and here it is. First of all, it's about being together. There are two people who invite Jesus to walk, and they don't know it's Jesus. I want you to understand this. They don't know it's Jesus. A matter of fact, this person that they've invited doesn't seem to understand them very much. Can you imagine Cleo be like, man, this guy doesn't know what I'm going through. He doesn't know what's up. Why would I spend any time walking with this dude? Well, you know what? By the end of this, what's he saying? Hey, could you stay with me a little bit? I didn't even think you had anything to say to my life, but now I need to hear more. The risen body of Christ is right in front of him, and at first it's like ordinary. Okay, I mean, you can walk with us if you want. I got nothing. I got stuff to do, but you can walk. Like, no value. But they choose to stop at some point and say, hey, stay with us. Look, we're just starting a whole new thing of small groups. Would you just do this as your pastor? Because this is part of your pastoral care. Would you take out your bulletin for me? Would you look at the inside middle page? Inside middle page. There's a whole group of new groups. Now, there's all of our Sunday groups already. A lot of you attended. Praise the Lord. Way to get the time right. All right? I want to really encourage you. The Freedom in Christ on Tuesday morning or Tuesday night, really important healing. It's after you do keep growing. This is the one we want you to do next. The other is the teaching in the Holy Spirit. You'll be hearing about that soon. On Wednesday, there are a bunch of small groups. They're all terrific. That's Shattering Strongholds, another really important one. But I want, you know what you could do, though? You and I could do what Cleo did. These people don't know what I'm going through. They don't even know what's up. Why would I spend time with them? You know, I want to encourage you, value the risen body of Christ being in your presence, even when you think they don't have anything to offer you. Take some time to stop. Well, Pastor Sean, this is just, it's just ordinary. Like, why do I just put another thing on my, it's just another ordinary meeting. No, maybe it's the risen Christ wanting to reveal himself to you in a new way. These begin this week. I want to encourage you, some of the most powerful spiritual things you could do this week is decide one of these, I'm going to stop. And I'm going to say, hey, stay with me a while. Second, verse 30, share. They're at the table, and in that culture, that was a sign of friendship, that was a sign of giving, of servanthood. They're like, hey, stay with us, let's share a meal together. Now, I just want you to hear this. Sometimes we decide to stop and be with the body of Christ, but we're not sharing or offering anything. All we're doing, we're consuming, we're not contributing at all. When's the last time you went to a small group and you wondered where somebody else was and gave them a call and said, hey, where you been? Well, Pastor Sean, isn't that the leader's job? No, that's all of us together. Like, we're the body of Christ, and we're supposed to be sharing friendship, offering friendship, and friends care if someone doesn't show up because they were looking forward to seeing them. So maybe, when's the last time in your group you were like, hey, I wonder where so-and-so is? I don't know. Why don't you be a friend and find out? Right? That's not the leader's job. That's all of us. And there's something about that when they're willing to share who they are. They stop, they value it, they share. Something begins to happen. But now, I'm reading this passage, right? I'm like, but God, what's the moment? What's the one thing? I mean, I get it. Like, you're starting to speak hope to them. You're starting to give them a new dream. Something's burning in their heart. You're teaching them that, like, hey, oh foolish, slow to believe. Man, suffering's part of getting to glory. Like, don't believe that way. Believe differently, like we talked last week. But what's the moment? What's the moment in verse 31 when they say, our eyes were open? Well, let me tell you what. Together, they stopped, they shared, and then what they did together, they had a moment where they saw something. What did they see? So I'm praying about this, right? I'm like, Lord, what is that moment? Because something happened that they could see in the physical what was happening, and they just didn't realize you were there. You were there the whole time. They'd see it. What happened? So I'm praying about it. I've never heard this taught. I didn't get this from somebody else. I was praying about it, and the Lord said, yeah, Sean, what did happen? Oh, well, you know, he took the bread. He broke it. Took the bread, broke it. Oh, okay. How did he do that, Sean? Well, you know, took the bread and broke it. With his feet? Well, no, with his hands. You mean, Sean, while they're walking along the road, you know, maybe Jesus like this or this or, you know, I don't know how resurrected, maybe just floated next to them the whole time. I don't know what happened, all right? But when they got down and they shared, maybe the whole time they hadn't really noticed the one thing that was going to take the bread, because he wasn't taking the bread with his feet, was he? He's taking them with his, what hands? The hands that, what? That just in a little bit, Thomas, he's going to say, hey, why don't you put your hole in my, put your hand, touch the hole in my hand. Do you realize that in the moment when he broke the bread, what they were seeing were the scars on his hands? Do you realize that? And here's what I think. You know, obviously there's the imagery of take, break, bless. I mean, that's the loaves, that's communion, so that's part of it. But do you realize what happened in that moment? That might have been the first time they saw the scars, and that's the moment they went, oh, whoa, that's him. You're here with us. I didn't get it. I want you to hear this. Until they saw the scars of the body of Christ, they didn't know who he was. They didn't know who he was until the scars of who? Jesus of Nazareth? Well, kind of, yeah. the risen Christ. Oh, you're alive? You went through that and you're with me now? Who's the body of Christ now? Us. You know, there's some people who are never going to know that Jesus is alive in their situation until they see what? The scars of the body that says, hey, I went through that. I hear you're going through that. This past week, not something I talk about a lot and not something I enjoy talking about, but if you know me, one of my deals is I've got a nervous system disorder that at night, like I can't sleep well a lot. And someone comes up to me this past week, and she's talking about, I'm having a tough time sleeping. I don't know where God is. It's just hard to get up. And you know what I got to do? Hey, let me offer you something to eat. By the way, I've done that too. Let me tell you what I've been through. Here's my scar. Jesus is alive. He's with me. He's good. I'm victorious, but I get it. I get it. Have something to eat. Have something you need right now. And I think sometimes as a church, like it's all, like, tell us about the answered prayer. Tell us about the victories. But don't forget that we're a body that's got scars to it. And don't ever think that church is about no scars. Don't ever think that. That's not what it is, because half of the way Jesus reveals himself to the world is when someone stops long enough and say, hey, by the way, this is me. But you've been through that? You've got that wound? Yeah. And let me tell you what Jesus did. Let me tell you how faithful he's been. I might not even be all the way through. Let me tell you. And all of a sudden, what happens to the other person? Jesus is here? Jesus is in that? Jesus is with me when I can't sleep at night? Yeah, he's there. You could see him now if you wanted to. What? All of a sudden, eyes open. Let's never forget that that's part of being a church. Scars are what? They're signs that I've been hurt. Something's healed. And it's not defining me, but it's still part of my life. It's Jesus. It's the resurrected one. And here's what I'd like to do to finish up tonight. If you're a leader, hopefully you got this. But for all the leaders of the church and the spouses, so that's pastors, elders, deacons, board, ministry leaders, small group, life group leaders, I'm asking you right now to represent the resurrected body of Christ in these next few moments. And here's what I'm going to do. I don't want us to forget that in this room, the resurrected Jesus, the resurrected Christ, he's with us. And the way you can know he's with us is because we got some scars. And so here's what I'm going to ask for my leaders. And some of you, if you feel led to be part of this because you got a victory in this era, I'm about to read a list of scars. And when I read those scars, church leaders and ministry leaders, and again, if you just like, hey, this is my victory, I want to stand up because this is me, you feel free to do it. I'm going to read a bunch of scars. And if that's you, what I'm asking you to do, if you'd say, hey, I've got that scar. I got that scar. Jesus walked me through that. What I'd like you to do is to stand where you are. And after I read it, I'm going to just keep reading. And even if the next one's not yours, stay standing. So all my leaders, all my ministry leaders, all the people who are serving, and again, if you want, I'm asking them because I'm going to ask them to step out in faith for us. But if you want to stand up too, because this is your testimony, you feel free to as well. So I want to read a few scars. If you've been someone who's had a prolonged sickness or hospitalization, and God was faithful through what you thought would never end, I'd like you to stand and say, yeah, that's my scar. Christ has been there. Yeah. Financial hardships in the past, man, there was a time when I just didn't know. And just, yeah. Maybe it was a strained and difficult marriage. And it was just like, man, it was so hard. And everybody just stay standing. If the last one was yours, I read the next ones. Addictions in places where I thought I would never change. Broken and painful family relationships. Wondering why God would not answer the prayer I prayed for so many years. didn't feel like I had a future. Here's ones we don't talk about often in church. Painful divorce. Man, I walked through that and found Jesus. Touched my life. Overwhelmed as a parent. Just overwhelmed as a parent. Just didn't know what to do or how to do it. Now look, there's a lot of other things I can mention, but I just want you to see today that the body of Christ, it's got some scars. And they're not defeated things. They're actually the things that tell us he's risen. This is where he works. This is what he does. This is what church is about. Yeah, that church, man, it's messed up. Yeah, we've got a bunch of scars here. Because the risen Christ is the only one who found us, raised us, and changed us. And we're still growing into a lot of it. So if you've ever walked into church and said, yeah, those neat, clean people, I don't belong here. Welcome. You asked for it. You're getting it. And here's what I'd like us to do. And leaders, I'm just going to ask you, and everybody stand, I'm just going to ask you to stay standing. Look, this is the risen Christ. This is what he does. If you're in one of these places, he's alive. He's alive in that place. These people can tell you he's alive in that place. He comes, he visits that place. That's where he goes. You think nobody else knows? He knows. He's there. And I'm just going to, in a moment, I'm going to invite Pastor Brad just to keep playing. I'm just going to say a prayer. And after that prayer, I'm going to ask everybody else to stand up in the room. And when I do, here's what I'd like you to do. If you just want to pray by yourself, that's fine. But what I'd really love for you to do is to either find one of these people or just find the people you came with and say, let's invite the risen Christ right where I am. Let's have a moment of prayer together. And we're going to finish up in being the body of Christ that's got some scars, but we're going to offer each other the bread of his presence. He's been here. He's been faithful. He knows how to touch this place in life. You're not alone. You don't need to walk the wrong direction or go back to the old. He will watch over you in the new. So Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would come upon each one of us in this room. And that, Lord, we wouldn't just have a moment of information, but we would have a moment of transformation in your presence, hearing that the risen Christ is with me. And as these two on the road to Emmaus said, our eyes were open, we recognized them, and were not our hearts burning with a new hope, a new word from him? And may the direction be different. Holy Spirit, touch us in this place now. Being what church is supposed to be now, I'm going to ask you, would the rest of you stand and find someone to pray with and take a moment and invite the risen Christ into those places of your life? This is the part where you stop looking at me and you start looking all around you. Church family, if there's someone you want to go and just pray with, you just love them, you want to encourage them, feel free to do that. And take a moment and just invite the presence of the risen Christ in your life. Go ahead and do that right now if you would, then Pastor Brandon will dismiss us in a moment.